Hey guys, Mitch here, and you're listening to a special episode of Geek Awakens. I'm joined by the coach of the Southeast High School esports team, Dalton McGee. During this interview, you'll also find out about how you can help this team, which is a first for Springfield. Check out the link in the description to donate. So, Dalton, first off, what's esports like on the high school level?
So, esports is sort of like any other sport comparing to a professional sport. Like, it's the same, but not as good. You know, professional football, you watch the same game with the same rules, the same number of players, and everything still happens, but they're a higher level and more intense, and that's their life. It's the same with esports in high school versus professional. These kids are doing the same types of gaming, same rules, same things you'd expect to see on the screen. They're just not quite as good. You know, that's pretty much all the difference is.
Okay. So you've got a GoFundMe set up. What are your plans for the funds that you raise, and how long do people have to donate?
So we initially wanted the GoFundMe to end for Black Friday because that's where there's a lot of sales and where we can get a lot of cheap equipment. That does not look like it's going to happen. And so the finalizing date is sort of an indetermined date at this point. But aside from that, we do have a goal of $5,000. And the reason we have that is because our intention is to use it to raise money for the equipment we're going to need, like gaming computers and mice and keyboards and headphones and things like that. For jerseys, we have really cool jerseys designed. We're waiting to get them, and also to supplement some travel expenses, because while some of the gaming we're going to be doing is online and, you know, from the comfort of your home type thing, some of it will be in person. The tournaments in the Chicago area, a lot of the schools that are in the Illinois esports right now are from that area, so it does cost a bit to take a bus up there. So those are the sorts of things we definitely need more money for.
Okay. And then also just kind of like looking forward, I mean, you know, do you have plans to, you know, raise funds in the future, or do you think that, you know, like GoFundMe is going to be kind of a good tool for you to keep using?
I think GoFundMe is always a consistent tool. I think that it's more important year one than subsequent years. We need that foundation to get rolling, but our plan for like annual fundraising type things is sort of school-wide, or even toying the idea of district-wide competitions for various games. You know, everybody that plays Fortnite, for example, thinks they're the best Fortnite player in the world, and that's sort of the allure of the game. But we want to say, okay, Southeast High School students, everyone can pay $10 to get three games, and you get scored based on the number of kills you get and where you place, and the best player gets the trophy that says, you know, Southeast Skirmish 2018 winner or something like that. And everybody wants that. Everybody wants to be able to say they're the best at school. And the amount of money you could raise simply by a number of people paying $10, and then if you opened that up to the district-wide competition, it's even more. And we're going to have that same like idea and trend in tournaments with Fortnite, Overwatch, FIFA, Madden, fill in the blank. There are people that love to compete in gaming and are willing to pay a little bit of money for them, which ends up being a lot of money for us when everybody does it.
Cool. So let's talk about like the practices that the team members have. I mean, what are they like? Is there as much emphasis on the team getting along as there is like with actual gameplay?
So the more team-based a game is, the more team-based the practices have to be. Overwatch of the games we play definitely requires the most synergy because it's really easy for six players that are of one skill level to lose to a team of six players that are lower skill level when those lower skilled players have better synergy. When you start getting into games like solos and Fortnite, it's more about skill. But the more people you add to a team, the more important that teamwork coefficient becomes. And, you know, we have to practice knowing what each other are going to do. It's just like any normal sport. When a quarterback's throwing to a receiver, he's got to know where he's going to move next. It has to be planned, forethought ahead of time, and trust between them. And it's still the same with us. You know, when they're playing different characters, they have to know how each other are going to play so they can help not only make themselves better, but enable their teammates to be better. And those types of plays and those types of cooperation are the ones that will not only allow us to beat people we're better than every time, but really fight people that are objectively stronger players than us and give them a run for their money and maybe even win.
Okay. Kind of going back to, you know, the competitions, I know you said that some of them are home-based. You do a little bit of traveling. Just play statewide? Is it broken up to, you know, broken into regions? I mean, how does all that work?
So as of now, it is just statewide. And the number of schools off the top of my head is escaping me. But, there are over 15 and maybe over 20 schools that are involved in what it's called right now is the Illinois High School Esports Association, or the IHSEA. Eventually, when there are more schools, the IHSA is going to take it over because it then becomes a money grabber and a huge point of interest. And when that happens, you can expect to see the conference games and the regionals and sectionals and state and that same tiered competition that you see in other sports right now. But for now, it's one pool of schools and just within Illinois and this IHSEA.
Okay. How is the team structured? I mean, does everybody play the same game, or is it divided up, you know, like you guys do, you know, do Overwatch, you do Smash Brothers or whatever?
So our team has, our varsity team has 15 students and our JV team has 14 students. On varsity, we've got 8 Overwatch players, 6 Fortnite players, 3 Rocket League players, and 2 Super Smash Brothers players. Now, obviously, that does not add up to 15. Because there were a number of them that were skilled enough at more than one game, and they're going to overlap and have some duty. They do have priorities. Our two that play both Overwatch and Fortnite prioritize Overwatch, but they are called upon to play Fortnite in situations where that's relevant for them. And then varsity is broken down in a similar way. They're playing different games and overlap some, but we have only 14 students. If you're familiar with how professional esports teams work, our JV team is kind of like our contenders team, so to speak. And in that sense, they're skilled, but they need a little more time before they're ready to compete at that varsity level that the other kids are competing at. But that being said, if a JV player is improving a lot, is working hard, shows good dedication, and a varsity player is not doing that, they're all under the understanding that that JV player will get the play time on varsity. Because at the end of the day, it's my job as a coach to make sure the school is winning as much as possible and that our students are given the best opportunity to succeed. And when somebody's not holding their own, just like in any sport, they're going to get benched. And so there isn't a hard line between JV and varsity. It's this is the team you're on, but you can work. And there is that sort of fluidity in the middle if you're not holding your own or if you're really holding your own.
Okay. And so what do the students need to do to get that first spot on a team?
So the process was really long this time around because it was sort of needing to juggle putting a team together and also getting all the logistics of putting the team together on the school side done. So at first what I had them do, there was talk in the school hallways and some of my students were like, "Mr. McGee, is this a thing? Is this really happening? I heard there might be an esports team." And that was like a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there was gossip. And then on Monday, there was an announcement made, if you're interested in signing up for the school esports team, see Mr. McGee after school. And in 3 days, I had over 100 students walk through my door.
Oh, wow.
And the only organization in the school that had more people sign up for hours was football. And it was close. And that's shocking. And it was shocking to teachers. It was shocking to administrators. And I said, "Here's my list." And they went, "What?" Because it looks like a laundry list. But they all signed up, and then on that first form, what they had to do was mark games they were interested in playing and have their parents sign permission saying they would be allowed to go through this trial process and they were allowed to play those games. From that point, I had all of them turn in a packet that I gave them that had the games they said they were interested in playing, and they had to report like objective statistics about their career in that game. So for Overwatch, for example, they had to say their current skill rating, their career high skill rating, what characters they like to play, that sort of thing. And then based on that, I had to make an initial cut because I couldn't try out over 100 people. It wasn't logistically possible to have that many people try out. So I narrowed it down to approximately 40 and split them up into their games just based on their objective skill rating. And from that point, I took the, you know, sort of what are X factors into consideration. How are they as a teammate? Are they toxic or are they cooperative? Like, what's the synergy with this other player? And when you put the team together, there was tons of variables because just because somebody was really good at the game, if they were not a good team player, or if they played a character that wasn't good with the other characters that were being played, they may not have placed as high on the team as they would have liked to. But it was a long process. That there was essentially two cuts, and then we finally got this varsity team of 15 and JV team of 14.
That's awesome. That sounds really intense.
It was. I will say that the way the week was structured was that Tuesday we had Fortnite tryouts, and each student that got to that part was assigned a duos partner, and then they played 2 duos matches and 2 solos matches. And then I scored them based on number of kills and placement and got total points for everybody. For Overwatch, we were able to divide into 6 Xbox and 6 PlayStation people and had them play together. And overall, they each played six matches. The score, the record was 11-1 on the night. PlayStation won all of their tryout matches, and Xbox One went 5-1. And the only one they lost was because their communications broke down in a stressful situation. And it was a great learning moment for them. But as somebody who's about to put these people together on a team, I was looking at this 11-1 record like, okay, so this is going to be fun to coach. Like, these guys are good. And it was a long week of tryouts, but I really feel confident that after such an arduous process, that we weeded out those that may not have been actually all taking it seriously, and the people we have are really good, and our team's going to be quite good.
That's awesome. So, so going back to the GoFundMe, so, like, you know, in the description, I mean, you said that this was a, you know, this team is a first for Springfield. What was the process like to get that team set up at Southeast, and how did you also get parents on board with competitive gaming for their students?
I sort of joke that I have no idea how this started. I knew that when I came back from Los Angeles in March, I had gone to a week of Overwatch League matches. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. This could be a cool thing. But even as I started to realize that my spot at District 186 was solidified, I thought I was going to coach baseball or maybe tennis. And then, I don't know, it was this ambitious, just hit me. You've got to bring esports to Springfield. Because there's this vacuum of interest. And that was apparent by the fact that 100 kids at Southeast alone walked through my door. So in terms of how I brought it to school, I can't remember day one. I don't remember who I talked to. I don't remember how I got my meeting with Mr. DeVoe. But we talked, and it was really easy to sell. Because you have to take into consideration that a lot of the students that would try out for esports team may otherwise not be involved in a school extracurricular and like competing for their team. And getting them involved is exciting because it makes them require eligibility. They have this time commitment and this like responsibility. It develops leadership, and it's fun. I mean, I don't think anybody that plays video games plays them despite them being not fun. I mean, people love them. And so aside from the fact that they have to maintain grades and it's fun and it builds these leadership qualities, one of the biggest selling points to the administration, and one of the biggest selling points, if not the biggest, to parents, is that scholarships are exploding for esports all over the country. As far as I could tell when I researched, the biggest out there right now is $24,000 from New York University.
Wow.
To play Overwatch.
Wow.
And that's like, hello, two-thirds of what I'm going to make as a teacher, like just to go play Overwatch, and that kind of makes me mad. But like, these scholarships are not just at these big colleges. I mean, Greenville University here nearby, Illinois College has a huge one. And I was like, what? Like, Illinois College is not a big school, and they're offering all this money for esports. And they're exploding because just like football, baseball, basketball, all these schools want to be the best at this. And they know the popularity is rising. It's a multi-million dollar industry right now. One of my favorite facts throughout this whole process that I would tell parents and the administration is that the League of Legends Grand Finals that happened in 2017 had more viewers than all national sports in the United States finals did, except the Super Bowl. The World Series, the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA Finals all had less viewers than the League of Legends Grand Finals. So for somebody that doesn't think this is serious, yeah, it is. And when parents say, okay, this is a legitimate thing, my kids can earn scholarships, for some people that can make or break the difference between going to college. And aside from the fact that we love playing video games and we want to win and we want to represent Southeast, one of the biggest things for me as somebody who was a first-generation college student and does not come from a background of having a lot of funds, that would have been huge. And I want to give that opportunity to somebody that can take a skill they have and just use it to pay their way through education just like a football player would.
So kind of keeping on the same subject with scholarships. So what, you know, for some of these scholarships, what do the students have to do to, you know, qualify for them?
Depends on the college and depends on the game. Obviously, there's a lot of things that go into that. Generally, what I found is the more established esports colleges offer more money, as you might expect, and the new ones offer less and have lower standards. One of the higher requirements that I saw required Overwatch players, for example, to have a skill rating of 3,500, so masters or higher. And in Fortnite, it required them to have a 10% solo win percentage with a KD ratio over 2 or 3, I believe. And those numbers sound kind of low, except that when you realize that you only win a Fortnite match every 5 days, you're like, oh, 10% is like a lot. And so they expect a lot. I mean, you're not going to be an okay football player and get a great scholarship. And you're not going to be an okay gamer and get a great scholarship. But for that reason, it's got to be taken as seriously for the kids that want to do this and want to practice and want to make something of this. They've got to treat it as seriously as the star quarterback of a football team would treat his scholarship.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know we've talked, briefly about some of the games that the team is currently playing. Are there any other games that you haven't mentioned yet that they are playing? And how often do the games change? Like, next season, do you have, additions or take any out?
So we are, at least as far as Southeast goes, we are paving the way right now. We are doing our thing. And the fun thing about how the IHSEA is set up right now is schools have the autonomy. They're not required to play certain games. And they find other schools who also play those games. The ones that are huge, that across the board most schools play, are Overwatch and League of Legends. We actually don't play League of Legends. Because of those 100-some kids that walked through the door, only 5 marked they were interested in it. And as somebody who doesn't play it and just casually watches it, I was mildly relieved because I don't feel qualified to coach League of Legends. But across the board, Overwatch and League of Legends are the big ones. Those are the state competitions where you travel and cool things happen. We play Overwatch, Fortnite, Rocket League, and Super Smash Brothers because that's where the interest was in our school, and it balanced what interest we had with what other schools were playing. We had some interest in Rainbow Six Siege. We had some interest in Counter-Strike Global Offensive, but the number of schools that also play those was low. And so for this year, at least, we weren't going to focus on those because we knew that as a young program, we needed to pool our talent and make a big impact. So we were taken seriously by other schools, our administration, parents, everyone. And then we could start expanding and really become a leader in Illinois for, we're playing all these games, come mess with us, try to beat us. Next year, I'd like to see us add CSGO, and I'd potentially like to see us add Rainbow Six Siege because there's a ton of interest in that here. But it will all depend on how the IHSEA develops, what other schools are playing, and when the IHSA eventually does take it over.
Okay. Is there, a favorite among the team of the games that you're playing right now? Is there one game that the entire team or the majority of the team really favors?
Depends on who you ask. If you ask the guys who only play Overwatch, they'll say Overwatch. I will say that Overwatch has a steep learning curve. It's one of those things that it's frustrating to play at first, but once you play it, it's, in my opinion and in the majority of their opinions, the most fun game to play. It's just the social aspect of it, the difference in characters, the fun things you can do with everybody, the fact that it's a living meme. It's so fun. Fortnite is definitely nationally the most popular game that we play, and there's a ton of interest in that. There was also a ton of cuts for Fortnite. Everybody and their dog wanted to play Fortnite for the team, and I cut it down to, 10, 11 people, and they're really good. So it depends on who you ask. I'm an Overwatch guy, but Fortnite is the game I play when I take a break from Overwatch, so I do enjoy it. Super Smash Brothers, none of the students were able to beat me. I hold that over their head until they do. Tryouts, I joked that whoever won the Smash Bros. Tryouts and got the one seed would get the distinct honor of fighting me, and he lost. And then second place lost. So someday they'll dethrone me, and it won't be soon. But when they do, that will be a big deal, and that will probably become their favorite game for that reason.
So, keeping with the students, what are some of the advantages to being on a team like this as opposed to just playing in their free time?
So, games like Overwatch, Fortnite if you're playing duos or squads, Rocket League when you're playing with other people, it's sometimes frustrating when you queue into games and you're by yourself and nobody's being cooperative. And so, aside from the fact that this team brings jerseys and cool competition and that side of things, they can go into any match knowing that they have people that are going to work with them. They can play that what they like to play. They can enjoy it and also be successful. Whereas when you queue in solo queuing, you have to do whatever part you have to do, and you may not like it. You're just trying to win, but you're not very good at that part yet necessarily, and then you lose, and it's frustrating. Overall, the experiences are all more enjoyable with friends. And while there are some video games in existence that are meant to just be by yourself playing, video games are social, and they're fun with people and friends playing together, and that's the whole point. And so what the team offers is that cooperative atmosphere, people to play with anytime you want to play a game. You get on our Discord and be like, who's on? Let's play. And they always have someone to play with. And I think that's a huge benefit to having the team atmosphere.
Nice. So just kind of you know, as a, you know, personal, like, you know, like gaming, a friend of mine I was talking to about this, and she's a big gamer, and she was saying how she's got a specific controller, mouse, keyboard, you know, just that she uses for each game. So, I mean, do you have a favorite like that when you're playing?
So, actual PC gamers are going to crucify me for this, but I played on PlayStation and Nintendo my whole life. And when I got more serious into gaming, it was the PlayStation games minus GameCube, where, again, nothing's happening against me anytime soon. But I play with PlayStation 4 controller on PlayStation, and when I play on PC for Overwatch, I also use my PS4 controller. And PC gamers, like, there's hate and there's shade and everything thrown at me, and I don't care, and I tell them that because I don't play, like, high-intensity, high-mechanical players and hitscan DPS players. I play tanks and support primarily, so I don't need that high mechanical skill that the mouse and keyboard does offer you. To me, a mouse is a mouse. I don't care. Some of my kids, even last night, were talking about it. They do. I mean, they care what brand it is. They care what model it is, exactly how it fits the shape of their hand. At the end of the day, like, you don't need the $100 mouse. You need the mouse that makes you feel comfortable. And however much money you're willing to spend on that is your business. In terms of favorites, though, everybody has the thing they swear by. And if you give them something different, they're not going to like it. If you give me mouse and keyboard on Overwatch, I kind of walk around like with a chicken like my head cut off, but when I have my PlayStation controller, I'm moving through that game pretty fine. So it's just personal preference, honestly.
Nice. So, all right. So, you know, back when you were growing up, I mean, like, what were some of your favorite games? And then, like, you know, and back then, I mean, did you ever think that something like this would be a possibility, and that also you would be, you know, coaching a team like this?
The earliest video game memories I have were probably Mario Party and Super Smash Brothers, and I'm talking Nintendo 64, Mario Party 2, and the Super Smash Brothers. Like, there was nothing after those three words. Those were the earliest ones I played. I played a lot of them. It's why my students can't beat me at Super Smash Brothers to this day. Star Wars Battlefront 2 was the next game in my memory I can remember loving. Galactic Conquest, and that game is still, like, one of the best game modes ever invented, period, ever, end of story. It's so fun. Sonic Heroes was a game I was obsessed with, and all my friends make fun of me for that one, but I never beat it. Like, I finished all four of the story modes, and then I never completed the difficult challenges to face the final boss, and I, to this day, regret it, because now I can't find the game anywhere. It's like this diamond in the rough that I can't find, and I will never beat this stupid game. But I didn't really take gaming seriously until Overwatch. I even fought buying Overwatch in the first place. A group of my friends had it, and I don't know, it kind of looked dumb when I first started playing it. And if for nothing else, I finally bought it just to play with them. And I eventually, not quickly, eventually got better than them, and they were busy. So I played solo queued, met some people, made friends all over the country. And then, as I mentioned earlier, in March of this last year, I went to Los Angeles for a week to see Overwatch League matches. Because in the World Cup of 2017, I was obviously rooting for Team USA, and a couple of the people that were on that team became members of the Houston Outlaws, and so I became a big Outlaws fan, and I went to go see them, and unfortunately they lost both matches they were in that week, and it was sad. But the impression that being in the Blizzard Arena left on me as an esports, like, viewer was huge. Like, I went there knowing nobody, and I walked away with a group of friends that I still talk to this day all over the country, and I was like, this is really cool. But as I said earlier, I still never thought coaching esports was a thing that would ever happen in a high school. And it just seemed like this larger than life, you need this massive screen and all this production value. And the blacked out moment of my life where I decided to do this, that I don't remember anything about it, I just tried and said, what can I do to make this happen? What do I need to do? And I was thankful to have an administration that was like, this is really cool, let's do it. And they backed me up, because I could have been to the school that said, this is dumb, no. And if it was this blind ambition and sort of this arrogance that it's going to work no matter what happens that you have to have when you start something crazy like this. And I've had talented, passionate kids, administration that was cooperative, and without all that, there was no way that coaching esports was going to be a thing for me.
So I guess, you know, like, just to kind of tie everything up, was there anything that, you know, that we haven't touched on that you do want to mention or anything like that?
Well, we got exciting news last night on our Fortnite front, which is kind of fun. There's an officially sanctioned Fortnite tournament that's going to be happening for high school esports. And we got all of our Fortnite players signed up. They're really pumped about it. The company that is making it is based out of San Francisco, and there's a lot of TSM and TL players that use it already. And so that's exciting because maybe not this year, but next year, we're going to be getting to the situations where we could have like our own private servers in Fortnite, where all 100 people that jump in off the bus are all high school students from Illinois, and we're competing. And that's awesome because it's unheard of at this point in Fortnite. Epic does not give that out. So that's exciting news. The only thing I would say to sort of wrap things up is sort of this call to action. Like, we do need help. This is a Title I district, and you know, we have a lot of students in Springfield that are you know, don't necessarily have the funds that some schools in the area have, or the district doesn't have the money to be spending on something like esports. You know, you can't walk to the office and say, "Hi, we want to play video games. Can we have $5,000?" This is a thing we need to build grassroots from the grounds up to start and earn that reputation before we start getting the money and them seeing it. So the GoFundMe page, you can find it at Springfield Southeast High School Esports. We've raised a good amount of money, but not as much as we need. So anything anybody can offer, the donations have been between $20 and $200 up to this point. That one made me like do a double take when I saw my email.
Right.
But anything helps. I mean, $1 we get is $1 we didn't have. So we just need to help fundraising.
Awesome. Well, Dalton, thanks again so much for taking the time to talk. And then, like I said, if you want to help these guys out, check out the link in the description. And then also, we'll be back with our regular show next week. Hope to see you guys then.